Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from the traditional gospel reading for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany from Luke chapter 4. It's just a continuation pretty much of last week's gospel. And Jesus went to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his words were with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out with a loud voice, "Oh, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports of him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. So far the text. So last Sunday and this Sunday, we've heard the first two sermons that Jesus preached, at least that we have recorded, and they're a lot different than the reaction to my first two sermons. The first sermon I ever preached at my big field work church, by the time I finished, I think the congregation was more relieved that I'd finally wrapped things up than I was. So that was, you know, nobody booed anyway. My second sermon I preached when I went back to my parents' church, and my dad had a mission church, and I preached there. And after that, my dad's reaction was, "Yeah, it was pretty good, except for the false doctrine part." It's like, "Thanks, Dad." That's kind of in between the two reactions we have last week and this week. So last week, Jesus preaches to his hometown of Nazareth, and he basically sits down. They give him the scroll of Isaiah, turn it to the right place. He reads it, and it says people were amazed. Amazed at his teaching. And it really was a pretty simple sermon. He basically reads it and he says, "This has just come true in your hearing." That's it. Now, they're amazed by that, what he had to say, but I think the biggest reason they're amazed about what he said is because he didn't put everything in. The Isaiah passage he reads, he leaves out a few passages. And the passages he leaves out are where it talks about condemning and judging and attacking the Gentiles. Jesus takes that out. And according to the audience he's preaching to, that's the best part, okay, going after the Gentiles. And then what does Jesus say? He knows exactly what they're thinking, and he goes, "Well, look, there are a lot of people starving to death in Israel, and yet God sent Elijah to a Gentile, and there were a lot of people in Israel who had leprosy, and God sent Elisha to a Gentile," and that's when they pick him up and try to kill him. Reaction number one, not really good. Then we come to this one. Now he's in Capernaum. This eventually will be his kind of home base of operation, especially kind of Peter's house and everything right across from the synagogue. And again, he's preaching and teaching, and a demon-possessed man jumps up. And to give you some idea how possessed he is, he doesn't just stand up and say, "Jesus, could you please heal me?" Instead, the demon speaks for himself or themselves. And Jesus, with a power of authority, casts the demon out. So before the people were amazed at his authority of teaching, now they're amazed because he's put that authority into action. They're amazed by this. Now these two reactions to Jesus' first two sermons seem radically different. One very negative, one very positive. And yet, really, they are two sides of the same coin. The problem of both of these reactions is the same. And it's something that is an obstacle to people becoming part of the kingdom Jesus talked about in Nazareth, where the poor have the good news preached to them, where the blind see, where those who are oppressed are set free. They have a horrible time. And there's several ways we could approach this text, okay? Real simple. Number one, we could say, okay, last week in Nazareth, that was a bad reaction. This week in Capernaum, it's a good reaction. So we should have a good reaction to Jesus like the people in Capernaum. Amen. Second way is we could say, well, look at the people in Capernaum, right? They see the authority of Jesus, and what do? They share the good news with others, and we should do the same thing. Amen. Or thirdly, we could say, look at Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick. Jesus healed her, and what does she do? She serves others. The problem with that is, with these approaches, is we have a tendency of saying, okay, we make Jesus, what he says and what he does, just a stepping stone to what's really important, and that's what we do. Okay, so it's about us being amazed at Jesus. It's about us sharing the good news. It's about us serving as Peter's mother-in-law did. I want to take a different approach, where we certainly look very clearly at how this church in Capernaum responded to Jesus, his words and his actions. But in particular, we're going to really look at a bizarre way that they respond to him. And it really has to do with timing. This last week, I wasn't feeling that great. It turned out it was allergies. I mean, as soon as it rained, it just went away. But at the time, I was reading this gospel. It was the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. I kept sneezing and everything. And I read this, and I read this passage, especially the man jumping up saying, you know, basically, I know who you are, and Jesus heals him instantly. And I said to myself, boy, if I was there 2,000 years ago with my head full and sneezing, I'd be jumping up, raising my hand, and say, I'm next, right? But that doesn't happen. It has to do with timing. I came across my class picture in the fifth grade. My teacher is Mrs. Frederickson. She was really a nice breath of fresh air after fourth grade. And she was a little strange, though. I mean, it was the 70s and everything. And so she taught our fifth grade class transcendental meditation. All right? And so we used to have two times during our class day where we would meditate. And we'd actually sit there at our desk and close our eyes and go, Om, Om, right? And I'd be thinking, I want to go home. You know, it's so boring. And so I was just kind of trying to get through this, trying not to fall asleep. And I just kind of start picking at a baby tooth, right? Well, you know, it popped out, right? And a friend of mine across the classroom saw this, and I'll never forget. He just goes like this. He popped one out. And another friend over there, he popped one out. And I'm just like, game's on, okay? So I popped out the second one. And they responded, bam, they got one, bam, they got one. I go, I'm not going to lose, I'm going to win this one. And so there was a tooth. I think it was like one of my last ones. It was a canine. Not really that wiggly yet. But I said, I think I can get it. And I just went, and I just ripped it out and held it up, yeah, with a big grin on my face. Of course, what happened is my mouth starts filling up with blood. And by the time Mrs. Frederickson saw me, it was kind of going down my chin and onto my desk. I can't imagine what I looked like to her. But she freaked out and sent me to the principal's office. But I'll never forget that. But the thing is, wasn't the right time for that tooth, okay? Timing was off. Now, we look at this, and we see these people. They have certainly seen Jesus' glory. They've seen his righteousness. They've seen his power, right? And they know what Jesus has done is true. And then we have some of the saddest words in this text. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any sick or various diseases, then they came to Jesus. They waited till sundown. Why? Nobody said next. They waited because it was the Sabbath. And you can't work on the Sabbath. Their complete misunderstanding of what the Sabbath law truly was had become an impediment to them. It had blocked them from being really part of the kingdom. Now, they believed what Jesus did was true. I'm sure they all went home, it says they did, and told everybody what Jesus had done. And we can imagine some guy, you know, comes home, rushes home, says, Grandpa, you've been suffering from this incredible pain for 25 years. Just met a guy who can heal you instantly. And Grandpa's like, hooray, let's go. And you're like, no, Grandpa, hold your horses here. Just sit in the corner and suffer silently for about 6 or 7 hours. And then we'll go over and get you healed. Things were never meant to be that way. You see, they believe in the power of Jesus, but the power of their misunderstanding of the Sabbath law trumps Jesus' power. And it's an obstacle for them 2,000 years ago, and it can still be an obstacle for us today. Where we say to ourselves, well, I don't think I deserve Jesus' love, or I don't think I deserve Jesus' forgiveness. God never said that. Jesus never said that. We say that. We're the problem. Jesus is the solution. And what does Jesus say? I don't care if you don't feel like you're lovable. You are. I love you. I have forgiven all your sins. I think one of the most powerful passages from C.S. Lewis's book, A Grief Observed, I'll give you a paraphrase. It comes at the end of the book. That book is basically made up of journal entries that C.S. Lewis wrote after his wife died, and he went through a real crisis of faith. And near the end, he finally says, this entire experience, I'm paraphrasing, this entire experience was not God testing the quality of my faith or my love. God already knew that. I had to learn it. So on a daily basis, God in Jesus Christ does not remove these obstacles in our life so that he can test our faith and test our love, because he knows it. He gave it to us. Instead, he removes those obstacles so that we can be the poor who have heard good news, so that we can be the blind who now see, so that we can be those who are in bondage now set free, and so that we can live lives joyfully in the kingdom he created us for us to live. I think this is an incredibly important story, just in the fact that we see so how easily people think they're doing the right thing, and it keeps them from Jesus. They weren't doing the right thing. There's absolutely no reason for them to wait. Because after all, do the disciples make Jesus wait to heal Peter's mother-in-law? No. They've been around Jesus long enough to realize they didn't have to wait. The miracle was for now, and the miracle was in Jesus. I pray that the Lord give us the faith to see the same thing. In Jesus' name, amen.